Hey there. Welcome to Wisdom from Above. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, and I want to thank you for being a part of my podcast listening family. The goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reasoning of man to the revelation of God. God reveals himself generally through his creation, supernaturally through his son Jesus, and specifically through his holy word, the Bible. Wisdom from Above is a weekly podcast. This is my 164th episode, and every single episode is available to you and to everyone else all over the world. I'm thrilled to know that there are listeners in over 50 different countries. I praise God for that. I give him all the glory. We're in Season 10 of Wisdom from Above. Season 10 is focused on a series of how-tos and practical truths. Today's podcast is a deep dive into the most famous verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. I've entitled this episode, The Greatest Opportunity. An arrogant young cowboy came into town. He was wearing a black hat, a leather duster, cowboy boots, silver spurs, and he had a Colt six-shot revolver strapped on his waist. He caught sight of an old bearded miner who was leading his pack mule up to a hitching post. He decided to have a little fun at the miner's expense. He looked at that old miner square in the face and said, "Have you ever wanted to dance?" The old miner replied, "No, not really." The black-hatted cowboy pulled his Colt six-shooter and said, "Well, this is your greatest opportunity." And he began shooting around the old miner's feet. The old miner jumped as the bullet struck the ground near his feet. Bang, bang, bang. Then the old miner danced some more as the Colt revolver cracked off three more shots. Bang, bang, bang. Well, the old miner had two things going for him. Age and experience. He counted the shots. The cocky cowboy was getting a big laugh out of the whole affair until he noticed the old miner pulling his shotgun out of the leather case on his pack mule. And it was then that the testy young cowboy realized he'd already fired all the bullets in his Colt six-shooter. The old miner looked that surly cowboy straight in the eyes and said, "Have you ever wanted to kiss a mule?" The now sober cowboy said, "No, not really." And the old miner said, "Well, this is your greatest opportunity." Now, granted, those were opportunities, but no one would really say they were really good opportunities. Today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that presents what is, in fact, your greatest opportunity. It tells you how you can know for certain you're going to heaven. Today is your opportunity to make a decision that will affect your eternal destiny. We're going to look at a verse that is often exposited, but never exhausted. The songwriter describes it this way: "I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. For some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word." Today, I am speaking to those who know this message best and to those who have never heard this message. The message is in John chapter 3, verse 16. Here in this verse, we're going to see the greatest love in history, the greatest gift in history, and the greatest opportunity in history. First, the greatest love in history. For God so loved the world. God, this is a reference to the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. This is a reference to the eternal, almighty, all-powerful creator. This is a reference to the sovereign Lord of the universe. This is a reference to the only true God, who's made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are thinking, how do you know that? Now, let me illustrate. Back in the early days of Texas, a rancher was out riding and came upon an Indian friend lying flat on the ground with his ear pressed against the earth. Without looking up, the Indian said in broken English, "Wagon. Wagon pulled by two horses. Man driving wagon. Long beard. Black hat. Wearing buckskin." The rancher was amazed. "You can tell all that just by pressing your ear to the ground?" "No," grunted the Indian. "Wagon run over me 30 minutes ago." You see, he had some previous knowledge. Some people are looking at me and saying, "You can tell all that stuff about God just by looking at this one verse in the Bible?" And I say, "No, I have some previous knowledge. I'm looking at this one verse in the Bible in light of all the verses in the Bible. The Bible makes it crystal clear that there is only one true God of the universe, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more. It tells us that this almighty, all-powerful, all-holy God is a loving God. As John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. So loved. The term for love here is not eros, a consuming physical love. The term for love here is not philos, a conditional, mutual love. The term here for love is agape, a compassionate, unconditional love. So this is not a sensual eros love. This is not a solicitous phileo love. This is a sacrificial agape love. It is a desire for and a delight in another person's highest good. Well, whose highest good? Who does God love this much? The Bible answers, God so loved the world. This means the world of people. You know, we love some, but God loves all. The intellectual and the illiterate, the beautiful and the beastly, the rich and the poor, the red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. He loves everyone, regardless of race, color, gender, status, education, position, power, or wealth. There are millions of people that we know nothing about. God loves them all. But this passage goes beyond that. The term world does mean the world of individuals, and that means God loves you. This is the greatest love in history, the love of God for you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to give you an incredible gift. And this brings us from the greatest love in history to the greatest gift in history. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is God. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is God, and Jesus became man, born of the Virgin Mary. He is the one and only Son of God. He is the one and only God-man. God the Father gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me. You see, God the Father sent God the Son to die in our place. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us in our place as our substitute, Romans 5:8. God the Father sent God the Son to pay the penalty for our sin. We're told in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. A young rancher rode into a western town in his buggy. He got out of the buggy and started walking into the general store. Suddenly, his horses were spooked. They reared up, and they tore away from the hitching post. The young rancher reacted in a flash. He ran in front of the startled horses, lunging for the harness, and the horses drug him 200 yards before they finally stopped. Sadly, in their panic, the horses had stomped on his head and chest several times, but somehow he clung to the harness. The young rancher never recovered. He died. Why did he take such a risk? The onlookers wondered. Why didn't he just let the horses run wild? They couldn't understand. Then they looked in the buggy and saw a blanket. Under the blanket was a basket. Inside the basket was the rancher's baby boy. He gave his life to save his baby boy. That was a great gift. The Bible says there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Yet Jesus laid down his life for you and me. Jesus gave his life to save you and me. What an incredible gift. The greatest love in history? God loves the world. He loves you. The greatest gift in history? God gave his only Son to die in our place and pay for our sins. But why? Why would God sacrifice his only Son for you and me? Well, the Bible answers with the greatest opportunity in history. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a phenomenal opportunity. The opportunity to have eternal life. Notice the term that whosoever believes in him, whosoever. This offer is being extended to everyone in the world. And this offer is being extended to you. God wants you to spend eternity with him. What a clear choice. Consider the options carefully. The options are very distinct: perish or have everlasting life. There are only two options. One option is perishing, eternal conscious torment in hell. The other option is having everlasting life, eternal conscious joy with God. There are only two options, hell or heaven. Right now, some of you are thinking, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? And my answer is, he won't. And now at this point, you're saying, well, but I thought you said that my only two options are heaven or hell. My answer is, yes, I did. And now you're saying, well, that's my question. How can you say God loves people and still believe in hell? The answer is found in Matthew 25:41. Jesus is telling about a judgment at the end of the tribulation, which is still future. And Jesus says, in that judgment, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, that's hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, hell was not prepared for people. Hell was prepared for the devil and his demons. Do some people go to hell? Yes, they do. But it isn't because God is sending them there. God sent his only son so they wouldn't have to go there. They go there by their own choice. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And his justice demands a payment for sin. And the payment for sin is death and separation from God. God's love caused him to send his son, Jesus, to die in our place as our substitute, paying that penalty for our sin, so that whoever believes in him will not go to hell, but has everlasting life. This is why this is the greatest opportunity in history. It is the opportunity to choose life over death. It is the opportunity to choose heaven over hell. Well, now you're asking, well, how do I take advantage of this opportunity? And I'm so glad you asked. The answer is here in this verse. God's word says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever gets baptized, no. Gives a tithe, no. Takes communion, no. Lives a good life, no. Reads the Bible daily, no. Joins the church, no. Prays every night, no. Repents and surrenders his life, no. Believes God exists, no. Believes in Jesus Christ, yes. What a simple solution. Eternal life is given to whoever believes in Jesus Christ. You see, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to his mercy, based on what Christ has done, what he did on the cross. We simply believe that he died for us and rose from the dead. A man was once attacked, robbed, blindfolded, and led up a steep hill. He was told to raise his hands above his head. As he did so, he felt a rope. He was told to grab the rope. He stretched up on his toes, grabbed the rope, and just as he grabbed it, he was pushed off the cliff and was suspended in midair by this rope. He was told that if he let go, he would fall hundreds of feet to the rocks beneath him and his certain death. Panic gripped his mind. Fear seized his heart. His fingers clung to the rope. His weight seemed to grow heavier, and his grip seemed to grow weaker. Finally, he lost his grip and fell 24 inches to the ground beneath him. It was all a trick of the robbers to give them time to get away. This poor guy was clinging to that rope, doing everything in his power to save himself, and he couldn't save himself. He didn't realize that safety and security and rest were just inches away. He just needed to let go of the rope. God is challenging you to stop trusting yourself and your works and your efforts. God is challenging you to let go of the rope of trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Let go of the rope of trying to be good enough. Let go of the rope of baptism and communion and religious activities. And simply trust in Jesus as your Savior. As the songwriter put it, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." You see, the key is faith. The key is belief. God is telling you to let go of the things you might try to do to get into heaven, and to simply trust in what Jesus has done to get you to heaven. And by the way, we could never do enough good to get to heaven. We all fall short of the glory of God. God is saying that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die in your place and pay for your sin. And if you will just place your faith in Jesus, that he died for you and rose again, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believes in him. Believing involves three things: knowing the facts, agreeing the facts are true, placing your personal trust in them. Well, now you know the facts. You are a sinner, and you cannot get to heaven on your own. And God loves you, and Jesus died in your place and rose from the dead. You know the promise. Believe in him, and you will have eternal life. So you know the facts. But the second is agree that they're true. Now, you probably agree that those facts are true. Jesus is God's son. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. He rose from the dead. The question is, will you trust in it? Will you personally trust in Jesus? God is promising eternal life, forgiveness of sin, but the only way you can be forgiven and receive eternal life is by trusting in Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the dead. Will you trust in Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and eternal life? This is the greatest opportunity. The opportunity to have eternal life. And it's being offered to whoever believes in Jesus. That could be you. If you were offered a great honor, you'd accept it. And a great honor is nothing compared to this. If you were offered enormous wealth, you'd accept it. And enormous wealth is nothing compared to this. If you were offered exemption from sickness, you'd accept it. An exemption from sickness is nothing compared to this. God is offering you forgiveness of every sin and the assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven as a free gift in Jesus. Will you accept it? This is the greatest decision of your life. This is the greatest, your greatest opportunity. And by the way, you cannot remain neutral. You have heard the good news, and you have a decision to make. It's either yes and life, or no and death. You cannot remain neutral. This is a personal decision that you must make on your own. No one else can make this decision for you. In 1829, in Pennsylvania, George Wilson was sentenced by a United States court to be hanged for murder. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him, but George Wilson refused the pardon. Wilson insisted that it was not a pardon unless he accepted it. That was a point of law that had never been raised before, and the president called the Supreme Court to decide. Chief Justice John Marshall gave the following decision. A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under the sentence of death would refuse to accept the pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged, and George Wilson was hung by the neck until dead. We are all under the sentence of death because of our sin. God has issued us a pardon in Jesus Christ, but that pardon must be accepted by faith. If it is refused, it is no pardon. So what will it be for you? You're being offered Jesus Christ and eternal life in him. Will you receive him or reject him? Let me encourage you to place your faith in Jesus right now. Right now, right where you are, in the quietness of your heart, you can settle your eternal destiny. You can talk to the Lord in the quietness of your heart. You could say a prayer like this. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. So right now, for the very first time, I place my faith in Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Now, please understand, saying a prayer doesn't save you. It's trusting in Jesus that saves you, but this is a way of expressing that trust. If you place your faith in Jesus today, you now have eternal life. You are guaranteed a place in heaven. And I'd love to hear from you if you decided to trust in Jesus. Well, my friend, that's a wrap on this episode of Wisdom from Above. I am grateful that you're making this podcast part of your weekly listening routine. Please help me grow the outreach of Wisdom from Above. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Share it on social media. Tell others about it. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, wishing you a great week and God's blessings. I'm honored that you're joining me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.